All right. Good morning. Good morning and good morning. You know, even when Mr. was sharing, the realization is that this is really not about us at all. When Jesus came down, he died for us, yes, and most of us in here are saved and we have a relationship with him. And if we're honest, we probably have too much word in us and we don't do enough with it. And the reality of it is that church can become a place where we can come and gather and become a club. And it's nice to be in a club and have a community of people. But really, the reality of it is that your mandate and your job is outside of these four walls. And so when we come into church, it is a gathering of people who've done life together on the outside who love Jesus, but in reality, to get encouraged to where we need to go on Monday. And because Monday is coming and Tuesday is coming, and so is Wednesday. And so having that mindset to know that I love Jesus and I love what he's doing, and where two or three are gathered, there he is. But at the same time, to know that he's sending me back out into the world, into the highways and the byways to do his work. And it is work to do that. So be encouraged in that, to know that you're part of a body who is outward thinking, who is looking outward and not just being inward in their thought process. Because anytime, and look at it in your own life, anytime you go inward too much, you start to die. Because you become self-absorbed with you and you're not aware of what's happening on the outside of you. There is a freedom to know that God has set you free, yes, but there's a freedom in serving others. Here's a tip to help you. If you feel like you're getting too self-centered, go find something to do for someone else. That'll help free you from the mindset that it's about me, and God has an amazing way of making it come back on you and giving you the very thing that you need while you're serving someone else. Because it really takes away that selfishness and that attitude that we have sometimes where it's all about me. Now listen, and God loves us and he takes care of our needs. Amen? Listen, he does. When the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things will be added unto you, it is true. You're about God's business. All of a sudden, God begins to drop some things in your heart, in your life, some little blessings, because it's about him first. And so if you have that mindset, God will take care of who you are. But next time, try that. Lose yourself in someone else's situation. Serve them. And you'll be amazed to see the freedom that God will bring into your life and how what you're looking is so big in your life isn't very big at all. It's small because you are blessed beyond measure in your life. And God could heal you in an instant. Amen. I'm excited about that. So it is Christmas season and God is doing some great things in our midst. And this story about Jesus, it really transcends time. It transcends history. And we celebrate it at one time of the year, but in reality, it is a cornerstone of our faith. No birth, and really no death and resurrection, we're not really talking about Jesus today, in this sense, when it comes to salvation. So thank God for the birth of Jesus. Thank God that he came in and actually broke into a time that needed him. And the great thing about what he did was is that he came in at the appointed time. The Bible says that God had an appointed time for Jesus to come. And that should be an encouragement to you that God has set up your life and there are times and seasons. And that there will be the right time where God will bring into your life what you need. And until then, he won't. He'll give you the grace that you need for now. And then he will help you to endure until what he brings into your life then. Think about what was happening in the Bible times. The Old Testament was all about types and shadows about Jesus coming. And we're not talking about 3 days, 7 days, or 7 weeks. We're talking about 1,000 years. We're talking about years. They're prophesying. They're talking about Jesus. They're talking about he's coming. The Messiah will be coming. He'll be born of a virgin. And all these prophecies are taking place, but he wasn't coming yet. And between the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know, there's about a 400-year gap where God didn't say anything. Can you imagine in your life if you felt like God wasn't speaking to you for like a week? We get freaked out when your friend doesn't say something to you for like a day or so. And how much more in God where God said, listen, I'm not going to say much. You're going to have to just ride this one out and trust my grace. Do you know that in those times, and let's just go into this a little bit deeper. Do you know that sometimes God just wants you to listen and not say anything? Isn't that what the birth of Jesus foretold? And not only foretold, but when he was born, how speechless people were? Can you imagine what people were thinking about when Jesus was born and their thought process of how it was going to be and the magnitude of actually the reality of what was taking place when they went into that barn and that stable? This was the one baby that was prophesied, and the awe and the amazement that took place when they saw him. Think back over your life for those that you had kids. And the kids, as they were being birthed, there was that anticipation of what they were going to look like. And when you saw the baby, how in amazement and awe you were of that baby and what it actually looked like and what the emotions that it evoked in your life. Because this was a gift that God had entrusted you with. And as a result of that gift, you're actually now being able to be part of the process of delivering this gift and help raise this gift. The amazement of God's grace and mercy. But not only that, take it further. We're talking about the Son of Man being born not to an older woman, being born to a young girl. And the amazement that took place. So much so that it caused those that were coming in to bow down before him. The reverence that we should have for Jesus should be off the charts. And the amazement that you should have for Jesus is off the charts. Let me help you with this. If you're in a season right now where you feel like you're really dry and you're thirsty, I pray that God gives you a revelation of the magnitude of the gift of Jesus Christ in your life and what he actually is and what he's actually done. And I know this is not some deep revelation for you, but I think it's important that you understand actually what he did for you. What he did. Love came down to you. You didn't come to him. He came down to you and orchestrated this whole thing so that he can have a relationship with you in the form of a baby. He said, we're going to start this way. I'm going to start just like you started. And I'm going to show you really how it's supposed to be done as I grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. I'm going to show you and teach you how it should be done. I'm going to do it without sin. You're not going to be able to do that, but I'm going to show you how to do it, how to walk in power. I'm going to show you how to say no to temptation, and eventually I'm going to say and show you how to overcome in your life. So love came down and rescued us. It came to you. And so the notion that you're not loved, the notion that God does not have a plan for you is a lie from the enemy. It's a lie. Because he went to great lengths for you. We're talking about the King of Heaven who abdicates his throne, not needing to necessarily because he had everything, to say, you know what, I'll abdicate this. I'll step down. I'll become like one of them, born of a sinner, and I'll be raised by them in a society that's going to have nothing or want nothing really to do to me or with me. And as a result, nevertheless, I'm going to show them the meaning of unconditional love in this process and what it looks like. And I'm going to go to a cross. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be spit on by men. I'm going to be insulted. But I'm going to have my hands wide open on that cross. Say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All in the name of love. Knowing that most of them will never turn to me. We're not talking about a Jesus who said, well, listen, broad is the way and many are going to find it. He don't say that. He said, broad is the way that leads to destruction and many are going to find that. But narrow is the way that leads to eternal life and few will find it. So what he said was, in reality, I'm going to die even for the ones who are never going to choose me. But my love is never going to stop coming after them. I'm going to love them, and I'm going to show them what unconditional love is. Even in my love, I'm going to let them reject me. Think about what type of love that is to know that I have my arms outstretched wide, that I paid the ultimate price for you, and you can never repay me for the things that I've done, and you can never repay me for the things that you've done. But I'm going to show you what unconditional love is. So much so that I'm going to grow up like you, knowing that eventually I'm going to end up delivering you from your sin. And as a result, God's going to call me back home, and I'm going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And so much so I love you, I'm still going to make intercession for you. You know, there are times in your life right now that if Jesus wasn't making intercession for you, you wouldn't make it. You want to talk about unconditional love? You've got someone right now who has your back, who that you can't see, who's praying for you so that every time the enemy comes in and says, Lord, give me them, he says, no, they're mine. I'm not talking about a human relationship. I'm not talking about someone, an earthly father or an earthly mother. We're talking about a heavenly father who understands and knows your weaknesses and understands and able to sympathize with you and who can love you because he's been tempted at all points just like you are. So this is a gift. Love came down to you. We love him because he first loved us. It's a pursuit. Not orchestrated by you. Orchestrated by Jesus. And so that's why you can take comfort in the fact that if Jesus is pursuing you, he's never going to stop pursuing you. He won't. But he has a plan for you. So much so that he said, this is the way we're going to do it. And if you look at the story rationally, it doesn't make sense. We're talking about a virgin woman. Not married yet, supernaturally conceives by God. And if you look at that in the natural sense, it doesn't make sense because it's supernatural. This is a supernatural act. And so if you're trying to explain Jesus in a rational way, it's going to be very difficult for you to be able to do that because you serve a supernatural God who does things outside of the natural, who allows you just a sneak peek into what he's doing to give you an understanding of his love for you, and that says, trust me anyway in the process of what I'm doing. Now, even when I grow up as a man, he said, I'm going to do things you're not going to understand. So much so that his disciples were looking at him and saying, listen, what are you even doing some of the things that you're doing? We don't get it. We don't understand it because Jesus was coming in and breaking into a time and trying to help them see this is what the kingdom of God should look like. Your boy Adam messed it up. So I'm coming back down to show you what it was supposed to be like in the garden, and it should have stayed like this in the garden. But now I have to come down and show you. I'm going to show you, and you're going to have to go back to school and learn the ways. But I'm going to show you. So this is the process that we're in right now. And whether or not we like the process or not, it doesn't matter. You're in it. Because of Adam. But Jesus came in, wrecked all theological protocol during his time, told the Pharisees and the Sadducees what he thought about them, and said, listen, I'm still going to heal on the Sabbath because I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. You know, sometimes you tell God stuff that, you know, he owns it all anyway. You tell God you're going to do things, and God says, I understand you want to do some of these things, but you understand that I own it all anyway. I paid for it. It's like telling your dad what to do. Lord, this is what you're going to do. I'll tell you, this is what you're going to do. You're going to do this, this, and this. And your dad looks back and, son, you know I helped bore you. And so the respect that we need to have a little talk about respect. It's the same way with God. Sometimes with God, and we look at it in the story of Job. Job is having a really tough day, and God looks down at Job and says, listen, hey, man, should I show you how I map this whole thing out? You won't understand it. And so God breaks in to help them see who Jesus is and what this whole idea of Christianity is all about. All about. Showing no mercy, no mercy to the enemy. What I love about God is that God doesn't play. And when God does something, he makes a statement when he does something. He said, listen, I'm not going to come in. I'm not going to ride in on a huge horse in a kingly way. I want to show the enemy and I want to show the world what real humility is and what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to come in like and eventually grow up to be like. But we're going to start this way because I want you to see that in the kingdom of heaven, this is how it works. You want to grow up and you want to be elevated? You need to humble yourself under God, and then in due time, God will raise you up. Because God doesn't ask you to do the things that he hasn't already done. That's what love is. He says, I'm going to show you how to do this thing. And you can look in my word. I will show you how to do it. And then once I show you how to do it, I expect you to follow me. That's the way it is. You want to get elevated? Good. We're going to start in a humble position. And then you're going to grow up and learn the ways, son. You're going to learn the ways, daughter. And we're going to show the enemy no mercy along the way. This is what I love about God. When God says, listen, my desire is to put all my enemies under my feet, he means that. He means it. And what he said, and when he said that when he went in and that he made an open spectacle of the enemy when he went down into hell, he meant it. Satan is already defeated. He's already defeated. Already defeated. But Jesus grew up and defeated him while he was here. Not only did he kick him out of heaven, he said, listen, we're going to go a step further. I'm going to go in, be born of a woman. I'm going to grow up, and I'm going to defeat you on your turf. Do you know what this was? Oh, guys, you got to understand this. He already kicked him out of heaven in the beginning. But because we abdicated the keys to earth, Jesus had to come in and take the keys back. Okay? And so there was a rule and reign that was taking place, and the enemy had rule and reign here, and so Jesus had to come to redeem earth. And so he came down in to redeem earth. But in order to redeem earth, he had to go through and be born through a line of the people who helped bring sin into the earth. And so he came in, and that whole redemption process started. And he said, listen, now we're going to defeat him here. Because I'm going to show you how to defeat him in your life. But you're not going to be able to defeat him by yourself. I'm going to have to do it because I'm without sin and I'm perfect. But we're going to do this thing, and we're going to make an open spectacle of him here now. We're going to drive him crazy. That's what I like about Jesus. He does things, and when he does things, and when he goes in to defeat an enemy, he defeats an enemy, and he takes it to the nth degree. So we're not just going to kick him out. Now we're going to grow. We're going to push it out. We're going to do something now. No mercy. I'm going to show him what it looks like. Devil, you wanted to be raised up? Well, I'm going to show you the opposite. Here's humility. I'm going to grow up, and so much so, you're not going to hear anything about my life until about 30 years old. I'm going to do what God has gifted me to do. I'm going to learn the ways. I'm going to be a carpenter. I'm going to do what I have to do. Have a great time. We don't hear anything about Jesus' life. We know at 12 years old, he was in the temple preaching, and after that, he's gone. And God was teaching him, and God was growing him and doing things in his life. And you know, the enemy was just biding his time and just waiting for the season and when it was actually going to happen. But listen, God was doing something in his life, getting him ready. So much so that when he actually walked in and it was time for him to go into ministry, that he actually went into the wilderness and said, listen, now it's time. My victory party is going to start right now. We're going to do it now. We're going to go into the wilderness. You're going to be tempted, but I'm going to beat you, even in the wilderness. I'm going to beat you with my birth. I'm going to beat you in the wilderness. I'm going to show you what it means to lose. Because you don't have any power over me whatsoever. Whatsoever. Because really, the enemy's fight is against you, not because of you. It's because he's upset at Jesus, because Jesus kicked him out of his house. He's gone. Because he wanted to be like Jesus, but that was never his destiny. Never. And so he has been doing all this to get back at Jesus. Knowing, and this is the crazy part, knowing that he's already defeated. He's already defeated. There is no escape clause for Satan. He cannot get out of where he's going. All he's trying to do now is take other people with him, and we let him. And as Christians, we believe the lie. You're not loved. You're not accepted. God doesn't love you. And all of a sudden, we begin to think, you know, you're right. And we start looking, because I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I'm not further along. And we begin to look this way, and all of a sudden, he's just luring you like this. He's saying, come on, I got you. And then all of a sudden, you begin to implode in your life because you're believing a lie that is not true. Because he is already done. All he can do is drag other people with him. Jesus has already sentenced him. Already sentenced. And so he grows up. Defeats him in the wilderness, eventually goes to the cross, defeats him on the cross, and then says, well, now we're going to go down further. I'm going to beat you up here. I'm going to beat you on the earth, and now I'm going to beat you under the earth. So we're going to leave no doubt who's victorious, no doubt. And can you imagine what was taking place if they would make a movie of what happened in the 3 days from when he died and when he rose? It'd be crazy what was happening down there. You know, he went in, and it wasn't, he did not go in not confident, not knowing who he was, because remember, he said, listen, if I wanted to call down a legion of angels, I can call them down right now. He had the power to do that, but he chose not to do it because that's not the way God chose him and wanted him to do it. God said, listen, you're going to do it this way in humility. Even though you could do it that way, do it this way. He goes down, defeats the enemy. That's it. Goes back up into heaven, presents the blood of the mercy seat, and says, it's done. And in victory, he sits down now. He probably stands up every once in a while, just a stretch. But you know, with God, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time by his Spirit. So God's got you covered. He's got you covered in heaven. He's got you covered here. And if you know Jesus, he's got you covered eternally. Because his sacrifice was once and for all. But he showed no mercy. No mercy. And allowed the enemy for a while to think he was winning. And then all of a sudden, at the last minute, I love the fact where the enemy thought that he had him in the garden, knew why he came, and said, nah, not my will. But your will be done. Can you imagine if it went the other way? Do you realize the magnitude of what he did? We didn't have to do it. But he chose to do it because he knows that what it would mean for you. Because he had a relationship in mind with you. Because he wanted to share eternity with you. And so now God calls us into a place where he says, now, where you're at, light it up. Be who I've called you to be. You don't have to play around with the unfruitful works of darkness. Light it up. Be who I've called you. I'm already inside of you. And that's why God places us where he places us. Because he wants the darkness to know, this is my kid. This is who I've saved. This is who I have a relationship with. They're my son. They're my daughter. And you can walk in confidence to know that's who you are and just light it up. Be who you are. Use the gift. Use the talent. Whatever it is. So people can see the reality of what Jesus is in your life. That's why the Christmas season is so important. I don't even like to major on the Christmas season. We do it because the world does it at this time of the year. But in reality, this should be your life. We're just saying at this time of the year that we are magnifying who Jesus is. And so don't let this be, well, I love Christmas. It's the best time of the year. Is it? It's the best time of the year in certain respects. The weather changes for 3 days. There's better food. Okay. We're in community with people. There's great events. People rally around it. And it is. It is a great season. But what happens when January hits? There is a shift that goes back the other way. Because we are so focused on, it's that time of the year. It's Christmas, tree, Santa, cookies, eggnog. I love all that stuff. It's great. But in reality, when December 26th says, guess what? You're going back to work. Some of you. The year's going to flip. And all of a sudden, it's going to be a new opportunity. We have to get a right perspective about what it is. It's got to be Jesus. It's Jesus all the time. With the highlights during the year. Christmas, Easter, Arbor Day, whatever that is. Okay? All right. So understand your relationship with Jesus is not based upon a season. It is based upon what he has done for you. And so you carry that wherever you go. Regardless of how you feel. Because if we went and our life was dictated by our feelings all the time, we would not get very far. If Jesus felt like going to the cross, we might not be here celebrating who Jesus is today. But The mature Christian, the mature mindset says, it doesn't matter what I feel, not my will, but your will be done. I submit myself under you because that's what Jesus did. Jesus says, I don't do anything unless I hear it from my Father. And so this is what I'm doing. I want you to understand that I actually have something in mind for you. Guys, put that verse up in John for me, will you? I actually have something in mind for you. He said, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. He said, listen, I'm giving you the right. I've got something for you. And it's going to be a supernatural birth. And you're going to have a new father in heaven. So that's when the enemy tries to come in and remind you about things in your life. You have to understand, I don't even know who you're talking about, man. I don't even know. That guy's like gone a long time ago. That's why the importance, here we go back to it. That's why the importance of being emotionally healthy is so important. To understand the shadow, the ability of your shadow really to dictate your life should not dictate it to the point the way it used to anymore. Because that old nature is not there. The effects are there because we're being redeemed. Every day, we're being sanctified every day, but its hold is not there anymore. So you have to understand the power of it is broken. And emotional health is important in this respect so that you don't gravitate back to an old Sean or an old Sarah when you don't need to do that anymore. I don't have to do it. I'm healed enough to know who my dad is. I'm not worried about whether or not she comes back into my life, fill in the blank. I'm not worried about if he comes back into my life. It was for a time, it was whatever. But I've got a new father in Jesus. I'm not as needy as I was. And so I can be in a better place, secure in who Jesus is. Thank God. There are things that are not in my life anymore. And I can rest in his love. Not to say that I'm not in process and dealing with things. Absolutely. But I don't have to gravitate back to my whoopee if you were here last week. It's over. And God reminds us of that. You're my kid now. Stand up straight. The power of understanding that you are loved unconditionally should trump any sort of dysfunctional pattern in your life. Because you've seen the power of what that love does for you and how it consumes those insecurities in your life and makes you not want what you used to want. And now you are in a relationship with Jesus who loves you for who you are and you can exchange in a relationship and dialogue. There should not be that desire to want to gravitate back to what was because that was not healthy for you and you know it wasn't healthy for you. And God gives you a glimpse and says, remember that. Guys, there are times, and I don't know, sometimes lately I'll have a thought process and it's like God gives me like, remember that? I'm like, no. No. Or a flash will come up and I'm like, what it was? I can't believe you love me in that because that was nasty. And how far you've come. Think about it. If anything else during this holiday season, if you're like, man, I'm loathing myself. I'm just depressed or I'm discouraged. Think about how far you've come and what God has actually freed you from and healed you from in your life that was so dysfunctional that you can just thank God for his grace in your life no matter if you see anything else taking place in your life that you, well, God's not blessing me here. Just thank him for the grace that you're not where you were and that you are where you are now and that you're free because who the Son sets free is free indeed. And it's good just to be able to sit and be at peace to know, man, he freed me from that. And I can sit in confidence to be like, no, I can tell you who Jesus is. And you know what? I don't have to be codependent anymore on your thought process about me. Do you think Jesus cared when he says, listen, I know where I've come from I already know where I'm going. Do you know that for you? You already know where you're going. And the reality of his security and his relationship with his father and where he was going, he was able to say, no. Fulfill his purpose. May those things and the security that you have in your relationship with Jesus free you from the need to get entangled with things that are none of your business, that you don't need to be involved with, because you know that God has good things for you and that you don't want to miss the good things just for the in your life. So what's the mandate? Guys, put Romans up. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's your mandate. How are they going to hear unless you say something? Well, God will get in and supernaturally reveal it to him, because that's just who he is. Yeah, but you know what? He uses your mouth. So that's why the enemy fights you internally, because he knows if he can get you tied up in knots eternally, you won't be able to speak confidently in your life of what Jesus is. That's where you got to fight him. Because the freeing power is in your mouth. Jesus spoke and it happened. So he's sending you. Good news. I've got good news for you today. Great news that Jesus is alive. He saved me. He loves me. He freed me and he has a relationship with you. And I'm just excited about it because I believe that he can do the same thing for you. That's good news. Good news. And so God asks you to do something and say, hey, listen, I want to send you or want you to do this. Don't say, I can't. Don't say, I won't. Don't say, I'm not able to. Say, Lord, here am I. Send me. It doesn't matter. Lord, use me. Don't get comfortable in, well, this is just the way it is. No, I've got good news. Proclaim the good news of who Jesus is and don't shy away from it. Expose the darkness by the words that are coming out of your mouth. Don't shy back. Don't hold back. Be Jesus to the world because they are looking for you. They are looking for you. And there should be something inside of you that says, yes. Let's all stand up to our feet. The chains have already been broken. They've already been broken. For some of you, it's just a matter of stepping out and doing what God has called you to do, and then your deliverance will actually come. But until you do it, it's not going to happen because the deliverance aspect of it is inside of you. It's got to come out of you. And so I promise you that if you open your mouth, God will do tremendous things in the lives of people. But you have to be willing and able to say, Lord, here am I. Do the work in me so that when I speak into people's life and when I'm obedient, that you're able to bring freedom into other people's lives too. Because the same chains that were broken in me, I want to see those chains broken in other people's lives. Because I believe that who the Son sets free is free indeed. And don't you want the other people to experience the freedom that you have in your life? Because there's nothing like the freedom that Jesus brings. In Jesus' name.